When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Time to do our 7-7 top headlines. Starting off with the Lakers beating the Knicks in overtime 101-99 despite LeBron James on the bench. Now Los Angeles improves its hopes of avoiding the play-in tournament and keeps New York from clinching an outright playoff spot. THT drills a late three to seal the Lakers' win. Knicks cover as dogs, though. The under cashes. Kev, good win for the Lakers.
Oh, man, this game had everything. The fact that the Knicks not only cover that early line of 5, but the new line of 2.5 in overtime, tremendous. The fact that the Lakers keep themselves live for maybe not only the 6th spot, but the 5 spot in the West. Oh, and they did so without LeBron James? I mean, all in all, what an excellent game. And that was maybe my biggest takeaway, Erin, is just how fired up this game made me for the NBA playoffs. This game doesn't have nearly the stakes of an NBA playoff game, but it had the atmosphere. It had the buzz around it. Yes, I'm more excited because the result went the Lakers' way, but I loved this game. I loved it.
Yeah. And another exciting game last night, the Heat clinch a playoff spot with a 129-121 win over the Celtics, winning 10 of their last 13 games. Meanwhile, the Celtics sit 3 games behind the Knicks, the number 7 seed in the Eastern Conference standings. Kev, Miami take 2 consecutive games from the Boston Celtics.
Very impressive, really, especially this most recent one. You thought you'd get fired up, Boston. You lose Jimmy Butler at the half with the eye injury that saw him miss, again, the entire second half of this game, only 17 minutes from Jimmy Buckets, and the Heat still get the job done. They were up by 14 points going into the fourth quarter. They closed them out early, and they now have an opportunity in the Miami Heat to go out there, maybe get themselves up to a 4 seed. They're the 4th choice to win the East, I know, on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, and another headline last night, Kyrie Irving exits early in the Nets 115-107 win over the Bulls with a facial contusion suffered in the third quarter after taking an elbow to the face from Nikola Vucevic. Steve Nash said he did not suffer a concussion, which is good, and x-rays came back inconclusive.
So, ultimately, a scary injury there for Kyrie. We think he'll be fine, though, right? No concussion. Will he play today against San Antonio? I'd lean towards no. It's a back-to-back. But Brooklyn gets the job done against the Bulls. The big thing is the Harden news that he might join them. He might not be joining anybody. He might be by himself, quite honestly, against San Antonio. Yeah. But Harden, possibly back.
Yeah, something we'll definitely be talking about in this hour. Also, Donovan Mitchell will be out for the remainder of the regular season. Just 3 games left on the schedule for the Jazz with a sprained ankle, of course, that he suffered on April 16th. It's reported he is making progress, but will be needed to be reevaluated at some point.
Again, we talk about all of this injury news in the NBA. You try not to let anything kind of slide under the radar. This feels like the number one seed in the Western Conference, their superstar Donovan Mitchell, injured with an ankle injury that's kept him out since mid-April, is somehow going under the radar. That can't be.
No, it absolutely
is. I mean, the potential, Like, the potential 1-8 game against Golden State, who's piping hot right now, if Donovan Mitchell, like, he's supposed to be back okay, but is he 100%? Like, if we have to question whether LeBron James is going to be good enough for a postseason run, surely we're offering the same questions around Donovan Mitchell.
No, I agree with you. Also, just want to quickly welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's also switch it to Major League Baseball. The Athletics are going to start looking at the possibility of relocation with the support of Major League Baseball if the Howard Terminal Stadium proposal is not approved by local politicians. Leading contender is Las Vegas, while many other cities would welcome this team as well.
Oakland is going to start to hate Vegas. They took the Raiders from them, possibly could take the Athletics. I agree. I wouldn't
blame them
at all.
If someone took my Philly sports teams, I'd be feeling some type of way.
No. You know what? It's a good point. You wouldn't want to see that. I will say, though, I can't help but I immediately turned my attention to the Vegas boys. Could Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper try to team up and go to Las Vegas if they actually end up with a Major League Baseball team? I know that's a simple, easy narrative. I know Bryce Harper's has a contract with the Phillies that's like 7 decades long. I still want to be talking about it, though.
Yeah, for sure. Also in Major League Baseball, the Padres have been hit with COVID before Tuesday's game. 5 players were out, including Fernando Tatis. Now, the Padres did get the 8-1 victory. They're scheduled to have a doubleheader today. We're waiting on the lines for that and also to see if COVID is going to have an impact for these games.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Could it possibly even stop these games from being played today? It is plausible. How bad could this outbreak for the Padres be? We'll have to keep our eyes on that. And if they do play today, not ideal circumstances to be losing bodies and then go out there on the road and have to play a double header with less than a full complement of guys. Not an ideal situation there for San Diego.
Not ideal at all. And our last headline, the NFL schedule will be released tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 17-game regular season. Kev, we are already hearing rumors this morning about who's going to be playing who.
Oh, I'm excited about it. I mean, we got people, you know, big MCs texting us. The Jets, the Birds are eyeing up another Bird team. We'll talk about that. It looks like a 1-0 start, maybe. We're hearing a little Thursday night football rumor. We're hearing Sunday night football rumors. I am jazzed
all around
for this. Love rumors.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the NFL season, which is so bad because it's only May 12th. Mm. All right, guys, so this year on The Early Line, coming up next, we're going to talk about some golf and get into some also horse racing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Now, the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship is this weekend. Last year's tournament was canceled due to COVID-19, so let's throw it over to Rick Gaiman to get a course preview.
The PGA Tour rolls on, this time to Texas for the AT&T Byron Nelson, an absolute staple on the PGA Tour schedule, but it'll be a new look event because we're going to TPC Craig Ranch, a course that is of course part of the TPC network, but not one we have ever seen on the PGA Tour schedule. It's hosted a few Corn Ferry Tour events, but that's basically it. We're doing our best to try to figure out how this course is going to play, and with 4 par 3s and 4 par 5s, it should be your very traditional standard par 72. Early accounts appear to allow each golfer to hit the ball as far as they want without much regard for accuracy. That's right, there's not much trouble off the tees here. There is this kind of meandering creek that goes through a lot of holes but rarely comes into into play. There are some trees out there, but you'd have to hit it pretty far out of bounds to get access to those trees. So I think you're going to be able to bomb it off the tee, go find it, hit it again, and have to make a lot of birdies. And there are plenty of birdies out there from the world's biggest names. Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, all in action. Brooks Koepka making his first start since the Masters, and Hideki Matsuyama making his first start since donning the green jacket in April. There is one big name who removed himself from this field early on Monday, and that's Dustin Johnson. He will not be teeing it up at this week's AT&T Byron Nelson, but plenty of great players remain, and there should be plenty of action all week long.
So Kev, obviously a traditional sounding course, but new for this particular tournament.
That's the biggest thing here. They always say, one of the phrases you'll hear people who follow this sport and bet this sport, more importantly, horses for courses. Guys that are familiar with those courses, that comfortability, knowing the greens, knowing, you know, how to play the certain holes. And that's completely out the window here at the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship, which makes it a level playing field then for all. I wonder then, does that open the door for some long shots then, possibly, as everybody is being introduced to this new course here on tour?
Yeah, and looking at the odds right now, DeChambeau plus 700, Rahm plus 850, Jordan Spieth 10-1 is the top three there. But last week, Rick Gaiman was all over Rory McIlroy for the Wells Fargo Championship, and that seemed to work out for him. So let's see who he's on this week.
Bryson DeChambeau has my full attention at 10-1. I don't normally like betting guides this short because golf is weird. It's hard to find a golfer who's going to win as often as these implied odds would indicate. But Bryson had what was essentially his worst possible outcome at the Wells Fargo Championship last week. He was horrific on approach, losing a huge number of strokes to the field with his irons and wedges. He played the par fives at only even par. He made a triple bogey on Friday on the easiest hole on the course. He made a double on Saturday on 18. He thought he had missed the cut, so he had to fly back 2 a.m. on Saturday morning before his tee time. And with all of that, all of those negative things, he finished in ninth place. So is that Bryson DeChambeau's floor? Now you take him to a place like Craig Ranch, where I believe he is going to be able to tap into his strength and take apart this course, because there is plenty of room if he misses the fairway. All four of these par fives play about 560 yards. Bryson should have no problem getting to those. There's probably two par fours that he can drive or hit the ball close to the green with his tee shot. I just don't see a scenario in which this course does not absolutely set up for Bryson DeChambeau. And we saw last week, even when he was having one of the worst events in recent memory, he still finished in ninth. I think that his floor is high. I think his ceiling is high. And I think Bryson DeChambeau wins this week's Byron Nelson.
Always great advice, of course, from Rick Gaiman. But Kev, I thought it was pretty crazy when I saw that headline. I believe it was Saturday morning, that he had flown home. He didn't know if he thought he missed the cut, but he ended up having to play. It was a whole debacle. So obviously, hopefully this week he'll be a little bit more prepared in terms of that. But a lot of markets right now available on the FanDuel Sportsbook that you can bet on for this tournament.
Absolutely. Let me just say, Rick, he's like, you know, I don't want to bet anybody too short, 10-1. I bet he's doing victory laps right now with that lovely CLV in the pocket. Bryson, now 7-1 to win the Byron Nelson. The thing is, if I know a guy like Rick, again, a guy like Cam Stewart, they will tell you at this point now, you've missed the boat on betting Bryson. You hope you can catch a live number. You don't want him flirting, though, with flying out because he's had a bad start, because apparently he'll just hop on a PJ at any moment and just peace out the tournament. But
Could you imagine just jumping on a private plane? Like, oh, I totally messed up. Let me just jump on my plane real quick and get back.
Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm still playing? Sure, let me come back. Let me probably get no sleep, and then let me finish top 10. What a star performance from Bryson. Just wanted to mention as well, a couple of markets here available on the FanDuel Sportsbook that I don't feel like we typically see. Top five after round one, and top 10 after round one. Like, absolutely. You get to cash tickets. You get to cash them immediately after the first day of action. I think we're going to certainly look to keep some tabs on these and not only see who our round one leader is, but see who is up, you know, in that top five and top 10 range.
Yeah, for sure. And I also wanted to talk about in this particular segment, we have the Preakness coming up and a lot of conversation is around Medina Spirit right now. That was actually one of our headlines, I believe, on Monday. So a few days ago, it was reported that the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, failed a post-race drug test. Now Preakness officials are allowing Medina Spirit to enter Saturday's race while undergoing additional testing and monitoring, as they should. Medina Spirit and two other horses trained by Bob Baffert will be under extreme scrutiny in these days leading up to the second jewel of the Triple Crown. Are you surprised by this? I know that the integrity of the sport is obviously up for question right now because of this horse. So I'm a little surprised, even with additional monitoring, that they're letting this horse run in the race.
I would think, I don't know, but I would think part of the reason that they want Medina Spirit running here is if Medina Spirit does not run, the Triple Crown is done immediately. Which should not be possible. Yeah. You should always have it live going into the Preakness after, of course, the Kentucky Derby. I think for them, they'd rather find out after the fact than find, you know, because what if they're wrong? What if it does end up being wrong here? They're, by the way, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. But what if it does, right? You want to keep the door open. Let me just add a little betting note here, though, on Medina Spirit. Baffert's not going to the Preakness, which is very odd. Certainly, he's always been there with his horses, but
it's
he doesn't want to be
a distraction.
I love the idea that Medina Spirit is like, hey, listen, man, crap my style, don't need you here. Yeah. Whatever. I'll say this, though. Baffert, who has won the Kentucky Derby now 7 times, when he's gone into the Preakness with the Kentucky Derby winner, when they are played in order, last year they were out of order. 5 times, he is 5-0 at the Preakness. 5-0 at the Preakness when he's coming off the Kentucky Derby win and brings that into the Preakness. Oh, and by the way, Medina Spirit is the favorite. Wouldn't surprise me if we enter the Belmont with the most controversial horse of all time, Medina Spirit, looking for a tainted Triple Crown.
Poor horse.
Horse racing? Integrity? No. Storylines? Yes.
Yeah, so they will definitely be keeping an eye on him. Last quick headline here, Manchester City did win the Premier League title after second place Manchester United's 2-1 home defeat of Leicester City.
Yeah, look, Manchester City has shown themselves to be one of the top clubs in all of world football, full stop.
Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up after the break, we're going to get into some NBA preview and also talk about the NFL schedule. Stay with us.
Live. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Let's get into some NBA preview, starting off with the Wizards and the Hawks. These two teams playing each other for back-to-back games. So Monday, Atlanta won 125-124. Trae Young scored 36 points. Obviously, a historic night as well for Russell Westbrook, having the most all-time triple doubles. Now, Beal was not in this game. He was out with a left hamstring strain. He also will not be playing in this game. So the one trend I wanted to talk about was the over trend. The over is 6-0 in the Wizards' last six overall. The over is 4-0 in the Hawks' last four games overall. The total is posted right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. 239.5. Kevin, would you ride this trend or fade it?
No, I got to ride it. You have to, because not only, Aaron, to your point, are they playing overs, but overs in these games, the final scores, 125-124, 154-141, that was a regulation game, 135-134, 131-120. Aaron, they've gotten over 249 points at the minimum in those six straight overs that we're talking about here for this team. And Atlanta, again, these games are getting you know, into the 240s as well. I it's so crazy because I used to see numbers like that and say to myself, man, I don't think I could play to the over. I used to try and like sneak in. I'm like, let me grab a little first quarter under. Maybe a slow start and I'll just turn the game off. Can't do it. Cannot do it with these Wizards. They are just playing an entirely different sport, it almost feels like. And I do think it can be a little difficult on the book because, I mean, gosh, they're trying. They hung a 250 in the game against Indiana, and the darn thing went to overtime. Like, they just can't catch a break with the Wizards in these totals. Every single game they play is getting into the 250s.
Yeah, and I feel like the total is the way to go with this game, just granted that the Wizards are 7-1-1 against the spread in their last 9 road games, but the Hawks 21-8 against the spread in their last 29 home games. So very important trends there. Let's also talk about the Spurs versus the Nets. Nets laying 5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. As we know, the Spurs did just crush the Bucks, 146-125. There is rumors, obviously, or I guess I shouldn't say rumors, that James Harden could potentially play in tonight's game, could be back. We're not sure about if Kyrie Irving is playing or not yet, so maybe we're just waiting on confirmation for some of these players. But if I was to take this line right now, I would take Spurs plus 5.
100%. This has a little early line special kind of vibe to it to me. Again, I would be stunned if Durant played. It's a back-to-back. I don't know why you'd play him on a back-to-back at this point in the season. Kyrie leaves injured against the Bulls. I'd be pretty surprised if Kyrie played. And then James Harden is going to play his first game in forever. I would think probably some kind of minutes limit for James Harden when you consider, Aaron, the last time. This is something that I just want to make this point on Harden, though, because I'm not sure people remember what happened the last time James Harden played. He got injured, right, the final game in the month of March, came back about 5 days later against the Knicks, played 4 minutes, and re-injured that same hamstring. So they're not going to go run James Harden into the ground out there, especially if he's going to be by himself. And by the way, he's not in. Like, if we saw this yesterday with LeBron, we can't now be naive to this here with Harden. He is a game-time decision. There's no guarantee that he plays. I think Spurs plus 5 is the only way to play this game if you're playing it early in the
100%.
Morning.
Yeah, the Nets are 6-14 against the spread in their last 20 games playing on 0 days rest. 1-4 against the spread in the last 5 games overall, and we don't know who is playing this game right now. Honestly, take Spurs plus 5 if you're tuning in right now because I was trying to tweet this out as I was doing this right now, but I feel like that is the play of the morning. Also, we have this. Why are you laughing at me?
I like that you're getting tweets off in the middle of the segment. I respect that.
Grind never stops, Kevin. Never stops. All right. We also have the Celtics and the Cavs. Cavs getting 10 points right now. The Celtics going to be on that back-to-back. 7-3 against the spread in their last 10 road games. 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 games overall for the Cavs. Oh, they're terrible. 0-6-1 against the spread in their last 7 games. This is what I'm going to say for this one. I like the Cavs plus 10 off the bat. I really do. But I also think this is a game where you just focus on the total over 7-1 in the Celtics last 8, over 4-1 the Cavs last 5 home games. I think you might want to look towards that when the total is available.
Look, if you've been following us here on the early line, I realized this a while ago. When Aaron likes a game to the over, we're doing real well for ourselves. They typically get there.
Acting like I take unders and I'm no fun. I'm just saying.
That's not the point. It's because I'm just like, I like this game to the over all the time, right? I say typically will play sides more than totals. It's not that you're like you're a curmudgeon who likes unders. It's when an over jumps out to you, there's always very, very good evidence behind it. Miami, like, pays so much respect to when you bet an over, they only play overs now. Like, so I think that this is something that I'm immediately, like, absolutely shout out Miami. But I think you're immediately drawn towards it. Also, though, as far as that plus 10 number, the Celtics are 2-4 against the number on the second leg of a back-to-back since the All-Star break, and that includes an outright loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The other thing as well with the Cavs and their against the spread numbers, it really just depends when you got the number. Because I gave Domantas Sabonis a hero of the night for covering an early 8.5, yet there were people celebrating that the Cavs had snapped their 10-game ATS losing streak, again, that same game against the Indiana Pacers. I would think that this line moves below double digits as opposed to the other way, because I don't think Kemba plays. Kemba doesn't play back-to-backs. You never know the deal with Tatum. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, in part, the Celtics are kind of aware of their fate as the mm-hmm. 7 seed now, Aaron, and say, look, let's just get healthy here. I think this line moves closer to the Cavs.
So Kevin and I, we text constantly, and we were texting the other night, and mm-hmm. I was like, anybody with a green team, I'm crossing off. The Bucks, the Celtics, he's like, hold up. The Eagles are a green team. I'm like, I know, green's my favorite color, but it just seems in the NBA. Yeah, in the NBA, I'm crossing off anybody who's got a Shamrock or what's the Bucks? I guess a buck is a buck. Never mind. That was a stupid thing to say on air. All right, let's continue. I'm like, what is that thing? It is a buck. I've never seen one in person, so a little thrown off there. All right, Pelicans and Mavs. Oh, gosh, I feel like I'm just giving out picks left and right. Pelicans +9.5. Absolutely love it. 7-0 against the spread in their last 7 road games. 4-0 against the spread in their last 4 games overall. We know the Mavericks are going to be on the back-to-back here. So I like the Pelicans in this spot, Kev.
Look, you're on fire right now. I'm loving it.
I'm on fire. And the flames are coming out.
Yeah. I love it. Absolutely.
Watch it. I'm going to lose every single one that I'm saying on today's show.
Oh, look, trust me. We've all been there, though. Don't worry about it. You think you're on a heater, and then all of a sudden it all comes crashing down. But the Pelicans have been phenomenal against the number over their last, 11 or so games. The Mavericks, on this second leg here of a back-to-back, mixed results for them. On their back-to-backs, like if they play the Kings, they were obviously done for. Then they lost to the Kings, played Golden State on a back-to-back. They dominated the Warriors. So it's a mixed bag for them when they're playing that second leg. The thing is, New Orleans still has something to play for. They're not done yet. They aren't done just yet, and they're playing like that to me, Aaron. They come out there like a team now. And this is what we've been asking from New Orleans all season long. Compete. You have the talent. Compete. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. They're still trying to keep the pressure on San Antonio. And I agree. I do. I'm almost surprised that we're looking at a number that is approaching double digits with the Mavs being on leg two mm-hmm. of a back-to-back.
And also, this total's not yet posted on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but the under is 5-0 in the Pelicans' last 5, under 4-1 in the Mavericks' last 5 home games. So keep that in mind. Another game on the board, Trailblazers versus the Jazz. Jazz laying 3.5. Jazz are coming off a loss to Golden State while Portland just beat the Rockets but failed to cover in that game. Which way would you want to play this game, Kev?
So for me, this is a... This is a real test game here.
Oh, actually, excuse me. I know. The Jazz -3 at this point. I'm not touching this game.
Yeah, I know your rule on threes, the rule of threes. It's a good rule. It's worked for
you. I'll only take the dog
for
me. Take it, but I don't trust Portland.
I keep doing this too, because again, like you're like, yeah, look, just take the dog, and then I keep walking in and taking the favorite. But I have to play Utah in this spot.
Yeah, if I was going to actually lay money, it'd be on the Jazz.
If Portland wins this game, then, okay, I'll listen to the idea that they've maybe turned a corner here. I will then listen to the idea that maybe Portland has turned a corner. I know the Jazz don't have Donovan Mitchell, but this is a team now off of a loss. They very rarely lose consecutive games unless they're playing their arch rival, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're coming back home. They've been wonderful all year long in that building against the spread. I think this is a number that is a little bit lighter because we've seen the Jazz just lose to the Warriors. We've seen the Blazers now putting up mm-hmm. result after result after result. They've won 8 of their last 9 games. I think we're getting a discount on Utah here. Mm-hmm. And if the Jazz don't cover, specifically if they lose this game, that's a big boost for Portland in my eyes.
Yeah, and just want to mention Jazz, 22-10 against the spread in their last 32 games as a home favorite. Over is 4-0 for them as well. Just want to mention lastly, the Lakers are laying 14 points against the Rockets. Now, the Rockets, they don't win, but lately they have been covering 6-5 against the spread, 1-10 in their last 11 games in terms of their record there. But, of course, the Rockets 4-0 against the spread in their last four road games. So keep that in mind. All these games right now available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Kevin and I giving out a lot of picks this morning, so hopefully this gives you some great insight. Stay with us here. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the NFL schedule. That's going to be released tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line here on SportsGrid Series XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Want to quickly just continue talking about the Rockets-Lakers game. Lakers right now laying 14 points. It is expected that LeBron James could actually return for this game. Kev, are you considering LeBron in this line? I am, just because given it is the Rockets, but just also want to mention 4-0 against the spread for the Rockets in the last four road games. What do you like for this game? You want to lay the points? You want to take the points? Because every time we talk about the Rockets, I feel like I hear you saying, let's take the points.
Which is, like, weird, right? Because they're actually the worst team in the league against the spread, but they've been figuring it out recently. To your point, this line 100% says LeBron is playing. Yeah. And quite frankly, if LeBron does not play this game, I'm going to hit my own personal panic button. Now, I shouldn't, but I'm just going to be really annoyed if he doesn't play. Like, I'm very excited to watch this Lakers-Rockets game here. I shouldn't be, but I am. As far as the spread goes, you have to take the Rockets. You have to. LeBron came back. They played Sacramento. They laid 11.5. They lost. Then they played Toronto. They laid 10. They lost. They've been awful all year long as a home favorite with LeBron available against the number. The Rockets have covered three consecutive when they got 14.5 against Portland, 16 against Utah, and 17.5 against Milwaukee. Now, if the Lakers blow this team out, that's going to be a really fun conversation to have tomorrow. But what we've seen from these teams, I think you absolutely want to take the two touchdowns here with the Houston Rockets. I just also wanted to make the point, I do not believe Anthony Davis plays in this game, and I think that that can move this line maybe down to 12, maybe, right? I don't think he's going to play in this game. I also cannot wait to see what they do with these LeBron James player props. Are they going to be factoring perhaps a minutes limit? By the way,
when you see the spread here, Erin,
of double digits, it implies a blowout. If they blow them out, player props to the over die in blowouts because people don't play enough minutes. So do keep that in mind. Yeah. And here's the other thing. We want to see how LeBron looks. I did not feel that he came back against Sacramento or Toronto and I was like, oh, gosh, this guy's a disaster. Now, he's like, oh, I'll never be 100%. Again, people don't like it. I like it because people don't like it. But I want to see how we look here from LeBron. I know that if LeBron goes out there 25-8-8, there's going to be a lot of, it's the Rockets. That's fine. I don't care. I want to see how he looks here in this game. It is important when we are evaluating this team going into the postseason. Okay. Although it is supposed to be a blowout, it's a very important game on tonight's slate.
Yeah, for sure. And I just also want to mention, when these teams are meeting before the game, they're not thinking, hey, we're laying 14 points, let's make sure we hit that for our bettors. They're thinking, hey, we just need to win and that's about it. LeBron James could potentially be on a minutes restriction. That's not out of question. He could be shaking off the rust. He could come in, have one game and say, or excuse me, one play and just be like, oh, my ankle hurts. I'm not messing around with this. All they need is a win tonight. Nothing else matters, which is why I would take, like you, Kevin, the two touchdowns, as you're saying, plus 14 on the FanDuel Sportsbook for this game. Wouldn't be surprised if it came down a little bit, especially if we hear that AD is not playing in this game. But let's switch it over to our NFL conversation. conversation. We know the schedule is going to be released for the upcoming season tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. So let's talk about some of the rumors. I know a lot of things are breaking right now. It seems pretty frantic, but Field Yates did just put out a tweet, the full slate of the Week 1 Fox games. So I'll just quickly run through some of them. Vikings at Bengals, 49ers at Lions, Eagles at Falcons, Seahawks at Colts, Broncos at Giants, Packers at Saints. So let's talk about some of the headlines surrounding this. Obviously, starting off with the Packers at the Saints, we're not even sure what's going on with Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. So I'm going to be interested to see how aggressive the FanDuel Sportsbook is with posting Week 1 lines. There is a lot of excitement, I believe, Aaron, for tonight's schedule release. Now, it's very odd that basically the NFL allows them to release the schedule, basically, before the schedule release. But I do think that people will be interested in making some wagers if they drop lines tonight, tomorrow. I think the Packers lines are the most interesting. We've talked about it. No Packers win totals here. Like, yeah. Saints-Packers, Jameis Winston versus Aaron Rodgers, or maybe, I don't know, Taysom Hill versus Jordan Love. You never know what you're going to get from Sean Payton based on the fact that he let Taysom Hill start these games. But Aaron, the Packers are the team of the offseason that we're going to have to continue to follow with that lingering Rodgers news. Every single Packer game you look at and you go, oh man, that's tough. But then again, might be Jordan Love.
Yeah, and we know that there's going to be so many eyeballs on Carson Wentz with the Colts playing the Seahawks. Obviously, he'll be going against Russell Wilson, but it's going to be interesting to see how he plays in that first game because, let's be honest, if he plays well, Philly is going to immediately start booing and whining and complaining, oh, we made the wrong decision. If he plays terrible, you know Philly's going to be tweeting, we made the best decision ever. Thank you so much, Jeffrey Lurie. But a lot of eyeballs on that game, too.
No doubt. The Colts are going to be one of the most talked about teams, I believe, in the NFL, certainly here on this show as we follow along the progression of Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, trying to, you know, bring his career back after the disaster that was last season that saw him end the year on the bench and now reuniting with Frank Reich. And what an opponent to start with, the Seattle Seahawks. Aaron, we were talking about Russell Wilson being traded for a couple of shows for a little while there as well. Apparently everything is all happy and fine, and that's great. And until it's not, until you start, I don't know, 1-3, and all of a sudden,
interesting if Aaron Rodgers was to hold out if Russell Wilson was to do the same thing. I don't think he will because we're not in that same position. But if some of these quarterbacks start doing it and it proves to be a they get what they want, other quarterbacks, I feel like, would do that because we would have seen this with Deshaun Watson as well. Still not sure what's going on with him and what will happen, but it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The power of the NFL players is growing, if only slightly, but you can see that their voices when it comes to, you know, voicing displeasure and things of that nature, it's becoming more prevalent in the league. And it looked good for some of these players. If I'm Russell Wilson, I too would be complaining, saying, hey, listen, just curious, do you realize that I'm one of the top five quarterbacks in this sport and you buffoons keep making me hand the ball off to subpar running backs?
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. But continuing with this tweet, the Eagles at the Falcons, obviously be super excited for this. I assume the Eagles are going to be underdogs in this one. They only have their win total at 6.5, which I'm a little disappointed with already with the FanDuel Sportsbook because I just, not with what they posted at, but just, oh, come on, I just want the Eagles to get more wins than this. So how do you think they would play against the Falcons with Matt Ryan?
So I think my tweet was Philly plus 2. I think I'm probably being generous to the birds there. Atlanta has a win total of 8. They maybe are higher power rated than I'm thinking. Maybe they're laying a field goal and a half in this game. 3.5 points here to the birds. Wouldn't surprise me. I love the matchup.
I can't wait to see Devonta Smith.
I do.
I can't wait to see him.
That's the thing.
Oh, like, I need them to come
Atlanta's
out, and I need them to just,
chopped
like, chopped cheese?
Jalen Hurts is chopped cheese. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's food. That's the life. That's what we're looking for there.
Yeah, book for the early line, because half the things Kevin doesn't get that I say, like little logo things, little logos, little slogans. But yeah, no, for sure. But I'm excited to see the Eagles. Yeah. Very excited. Again, with the Falcons for this Fox schedule as put out by Field Yates. Another one, Vikings at the Bengals. What do you think is going to go on with Joe Burrow this season?
Well, is he going to play? Like,
that's so, I know, the main question here.
These are little schedule quirks that can become big boosts. Minnesota gets the Bengals' first game. Joe Burrow maybe has a great second season. But what if that second season doesn't start until week four after the really, really ugly injury that ended his rookie season? Well, that's a monster boost then for anybody that draws Cincinnati weeks 1, 2, and 3. Now, we don't have word yet. Burrow thinks he's going to be able to play week one. But also, Aaron, if you're the Bengals, why am I rushing your boy Joey Burrow back into the lineup? That doesn't make any sense there. You need to make sure that he is 100% healthy, because I'll tell you this, and I know some people think, especially I'm sure folks like Aaron, believe it's excuses. I do believe that Carson Wentz rushed back after the torn ACL season, and I do believe that that set him back, and it's why he ended up being injured by the end of that season and not playing in the playoffs that year. Now, they still beat the Bears, and that was a tremendous win, the double doink game, but you don't want to rush Burrow back. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's definitely not worth it, especially when he's going to be your franchise quarterback. No one's expecting the Bengals to come out and win this year, so why would you even risk that? But some other rumors that we've been talking about, especially on, I guess I should say off-air this morning, is the Jets and the Panthers, Browns, Chiefs, Bucks, Cowboys potentially, Giants, Broncos, Rams, Bears. A lot of rumors there. So why don't we start off with the Jets and the Panthers, because obviously Sam Darnold would be facing his old team. That would be so exciting to see.
Oh, this is the best.
Would love it.
This is one of the best week one games, because
Zach Wilson's
like, I like the
crushed
drama.
I'm sorry, but I'm worried for this kid to go in. And I don't mean to, by just looking at him, but he looks so young every time I see him. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to be their franchise quarterback.
If the Jets roll Carolina, immediate clown makeup on the Panthers for trading for this guy and not taking a quarterback. If Sam Darnold lights the Jets on fire, that I don't know if Jets fans make it to week two.
I wonder because they want him to go so badly at some points, but also just like then he comes in first game and completely destroys you. Like I love the drama. This is great.
You know how like you have a friend who is in a bad relationship and you try and pull him out of it and you're like, I want better for you, even if you don't want better for yourself. That's how I started to feel towards Jets fans. Like Sam Darnold was horrendous last season. The worst quarterback in the NFL. Yes, he was worse than Carson Wentz. Look up the numbers. I don't have time for that debate right now. He was worse than Joe Flacco. They were better under Flacco. And Jets fans, oh, I hope Sam lands on his feet in Pittsburgh. Oh, I really hope that Sam figures it out. Maybe he'll go to New England. What? Be better. Yeah. Can we shake yourselves here? Have
also,
some pride.
Also, just like, I would never understand fan bases who are just like, yeah, see ya, good luck. Maybe I'm a mean person that as a Philadelphia Eagles fans, like I'm not wishing Carson Wentz the best, I'm going to be honest, because I don't like how he played here, obviously. But I'll never understand that. Like, kudos. Good luck. We're still going to admire you. Like, what are you talking about?
But
they're
Aaron,
on the team.
Like, Carson Wentz still had a top three MVP finish under his belt and was a part of a Super Bowl roster.
Yeah.
That happened. No. But
it did.
Sam Darnold stunk every year that he played for the Jets.
I don't know. Jets fans are just bizarre. I don't know what else. I mean, I would hate to be a Jets fan, but I mean, come on. What are you wishing him well for?
I agree.
So odd. People are so odd. All right. Another thing, Browns versus the Chiefs.
This is exciting. Baker's looking for a big year, but I'll tell you this right now. Kansas City is going to be a very popular play. The Chiefs are always popular, but it's very simple. Kansas City's pissed off they lost the Super Bowl. They're going to kill the Browns. You will hear that from everybody.
Yep. No, for sure. And that's the one thing where you kind of get in that gray area of, do I want to throw the Chiefs in a parlay? Because everybody was doing that until the Chiefs started losing. A lot of rumors going on. The schedule's going to be released tonight. I'm sure Kevin and I will be talking about all the things tomorrow morning involving that. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break to talk more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We wanted to name this segment Sow Territory, talking about something so random here. So J. Cole is now going to be playing overseas. I said to Kevin, why? What is the deal with this? I was like, I don't understand. Like, I guess
shocked.
We have an album. Yeah, the album's dropping this week. I thought we were, you know, rapping. I guess you can identify as anything with being, you know, now a basketball player. So, like, this is so interesting to me.
Well, first of all, it kind of continues the trend of celebrities just jumping into sports like no problem. You know, Nate Robinson's a boxer. Jake Paul's a boxer. Now J. Cole plays ball. Yeah. He was supposed to walk on at St. John's, and then he was like, I think I'll rap. Great move by J. Cole.
Yeah.
I would, like, if he...
I'm a fan.
There's no way the basketball career would have worked out better than the rap career has, because the rap career has worked out wonderfully. I know people hate J. Cole's music. Like, J. Cole has some like his music stinks people, but I enjoy it. I'm not on an extreme side either way when it comes to J. Cole. I think he's got some bangers.
Honestly,
no doubt.
Only like the Cole World best. I think that was his best album because I haven't really listened to the other ones, but I know what you're saying. There are like definitely that crowd that's like, do not put on J. Cole. I don't like his music.
What's the name of the album where he's sitting on top of the house? Dreamville? That's the name of the thing. The one where he's sitting on top of the house. Yeah.
Oh,
that was a good project. I feel like that was solid. Here's the thing, too, though. Like, I want highlights from his games over in Rwanda. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's not playing in, like, you know, like some see, like
wouldn't that be cool,
league
though,
over
to see?
Here.
Like, yeah, if I was there, I would obviously want to go see him play. Even if he was the worst player on the team, it's still cool to be like, yeah, I saw J. Cole play basketball. Something so different than, hey, I went to his concert.
Also, too, you got to, you know, we'll compare maybe J. Cole highlights to my very own. I mean, look, we'll have to see. I hit a sweet behind the back dribble, snap that net. We'll see what J. Cole's bringing to the table. I also wanted to make this point. Where does he rank, like, best basketball rappers? I think, like, 2 Chainz and Quavo are, like, the two best. I think that's the case. We'll see where J. Cole lands.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, guys, we'll see you here tomorrow on the Early Line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.